Okay, good evening. This is a shiur of Chav Zayin Cheshvan. We're going to learn Siman Shin Chav Tes from Seif Dalet until the end. Let's just do a quick chazar of yesterday. We discussed yesterday, the main yesod that we discussed yesterday is that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, even if it's on a Sofek, in fact, even if it's a Sfek Sfeke, even if you're not sure there is somebody in there, even if it might be somebody there, you don't know if it's a Yid or a Goy, you don't know if it's alive or not, it doesn't matter. If there's even a slightest chance that there is a Yid there, you're not to be Michal Shabbos. And we said that, generally speaking, Ein Holchein BePikuach Nefesh Achar Roiv, we don't go according to Roiv, as opposed to most other places in the Torah, we go according to Roiv. When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos, we don't go according to Roiv. There's one exception, which we discussed yesterday, but generally speaking, we don't go according to Roiv. Right, this is the main yisod of yesterday's limud. We're going to start on Seif Dalet. Seif Dalet. Afilu matzo'o merutzatz. Even if a person finds merutzatz, means he's in a very bad shape, to put it lightly, but he's still alive, but he's unlikely to make it for very long. It is clear that without a Nes Golo, he won't survive for very long. You're not to remove the building that collapsed on him. And you're not to check all the way until the nose. If you feel that there is no breathing going on, then he's ozvad ames. Then you can assume that he's dead. It doesn't make a difference if first encountered the roish, the head, or encountered the feet first. Let's see, Mishneh Berurah, Seif Katan, Ches, Sofek Chai. Sorry, that's the wrong one. Yes, ozvad ames. Ozvad ames, Seif Katan Yud. Ozvad ames, Diksiv, Kol HaShenishmas, Ruach Chaim Be'apov. Mashma, the Ruach Chaim Toloi Be'apov. We generally, when it comes to the Torah, we generally go according to the breathing as opposed to the heartbeat. This is a very general statement I just made, but generally speaking, we check a person's breathing to define whether he's alive or not. But obviously, if the breathing is very weak and the heart is still beating, obviously you're going to be Michal Shabbos for that as well. Seif Katan Yud Aleph. We're not going to say, since we didn't feel any life by his heart, therefore he's definitely dead. You shouldn't remove any more because of that. But you should still check the nose and see what happens as far as the breathing is concerned. I want to now quickly mention the halachas, in regard of a muma and other cases like that. What about chilul Shabbos for a muma, which was mentioned in the Mishneh Berurah earlier? What about a goy and a muma? A muma means somebody is not pekoyres. So the truth is, as far as not pekoyres is concerned, the Mishneh Berurah makes a distinction between somebody is a muma leter oven and somebody is a muma leter oven or not. In other words, there's two types of apikoresim. There's two types of people who don't keep the Torah. There's the ones who do it because they just don't know any better. And they can't help themselves from doing averus. And then there's other types of people who do it lahachis, just because they're positive, they know about it, and they're positive, they don't care about it. They're positive, they're lahachis, they do it lahachis. Now the Mishneh Berurah makes a distinction, and he seems to be saying that if it is l'te'ovon, then for sure you can be mechal Shabbos. However, if it's lahachis, then you're not supposed to be mechal Shabbos. You're not doing much Mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life who is a muma leachis. That's what the Mishneh Berurah says. Now, the truth is that the poskim are quite halacha lemaisa, the poskim are much more meikel than that, for the following reason. It's based on two psakim. One is a psak of the Maram Sheik, who says that actually, you know, when it's true that a person could be a mumal achis, could very well, but when he's down there under a collapsed building, chances are that he's going to regret a little bit his previous actions, and chances are that he's doing a little bit of tshuva in his heart. So he says you can't assume that he's a mumal achis anymore, and you could actually be mechal Shabbos for a person like that. A very interesting svara. Dan Weiss is choshes for that. Another svara, which is very, very, very well known, is the svara is actually chaznish. In the Radesim and Beis, Chaznish is a very, very famous Shikil Chaznish, in which it says that nowadays you can assume that generally anybody who doesn't keep the Torah, you can generally assume that he's actually Tinuk Shenishba. And the halacha of Tinuk Shenishba is that he's not considered a Muma at all, because his ignorance actually caused him to do all those Averas. And therefore you're safe to assume that it's actually his Amratzes causing him to not to keep the Torah, as opposed to his Laches. And in fact, if he's a little bit Laches, it could be that underneath his Laches, there's a lot of ignorance and a lot of doubts and tzvikas, and it's safe to assume that he's actually a tinuk shenishba, and therefore says the Chazon Ish that instead of you actually allowed to mechal Shabbos. In fact, he goes that far that he says that nowadays it's very much based on the fact that we don't know how to be mechiach people. A very, very interesting fact. He says that if somebody only becomes a mumal achis after he had a toychacha, after he had been warned, and after he's been told, you know what you're doing is really, really bad. And he says that nowadays we don't know how to be mechiach. Just a little story to add. This is a little footnote which I had from Noach Olowek, who heard it himself from the Baal Meister. There was just I have to say this story just to bring out the point, just in very, very quickly as a footnote. There was in the late 30s, when the situation got quite bad in Germany already, there was the Beis Medrash, the Rabbina Seminar in Berlin, and they were forced. Although he was a very firm Moshe, they were forced to because it was the Nazis in Machshom started to have their rules, and they forced that the reform Moshe. There was a reform Moshe in Berlin as well. They had to join. They had to be the same Moshe together. They had to have the same Moshe together, which of course implies a lot of halachic shailas. They then approached the rosh of the. They weren't sure. They weren't sure if they're allowed to do that. Are we allowed to be under the same roof with the Reform, who were mamash proper Reform, and they were properly against the Torah Shebaal Peh? Are we allowed to join and have a Moshe together, as it were, or not? And at that point, they asked Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer told them, I'll tell you the story. And his story was the Chofetz Chaim was approached, and he said that there's two people in a certain village not far from Radin. And those two people, if I'm not mistaken, they were bakers, but they were butchers. But it doesn't make a big difference. They were Mechal Shabbos Befahesia. They're doing all their various Befahesia. And we have tried so many times to warn them and to threaten them and to tell them all to the chochos, and they're still mechal Shabbos b'fahesia. And Chofetz Chaim says, let me speak to them. And the Heilige Chofetz Chaim went from Radim and he went to that village and he spoke to them for a grand total of 4 minutes. For 4 minutes, and they were never mechal Shabbos again. Never mechal Shabbos openly again. Which Reb Chaim Oizer said from that ma'isa I learned, that we just don't know how to be mechiach. We don't know how to be mechiach. We just don't know how to do that. We don't know how to tell people, listen, what you're doing is wrong thing. We don't know how to do that. And this is just to prove what the Chazon Ish says. I mean, just to bring a story to what the Chazon Ish says, rather, that they were lacking the chochma of Tichocha, and therefore everybody's considered generally a tinuk shenishba. Right, now as far as the goy is concerned, we're going to speak about that imitz shem and simin shin lamed. We're going to just as a brief point. What about a goy? If you see a goy, there's been an accident, and you see that there's a goy involved, and it's Shabbos. Are you allowed to save him, help him, or not? What about melachos deraisa? What about melachos derabbanan? What's the halach about a goy? Are you allowed to do a pikuach nefesh for a goy? So the truth is, there's a bit of a machlokes, but generally, as far as the rabbanan is concerned, you're allowed to be mekel. The abundance generally is mekel because there's Ava. If you don't start saving going, who knows what's going to happen? So as far as the abundance is concerned, it's quite straightforward. The Mishneh Berurah himself is very machmir konos to the Raisa. He says the Raisa, there's no havam when you can. That's what the Mishneh Berurah says. But there are some mekilim, the Divrei Chaim and other poskim are more mekel when it comes to the Raisa. And the truth is, there is a bit of a masa mat. There is a bit of a bit of talk about Ava nowadays. Do we really have to be scared of the goyim? You really have to be scared. They're going to come out with their guns and tell us, you know, you didn't save me, I'm going to kill you. Is there any such havamina nowadays of Ava or not? But the consensus of the contemporary poskim is that certainly there is. Nowadays, you just have to leak to one of the big media things, and if that comes out, imagine the front page of one of the big newspapers would write such a thing, and there's a very, very serious side of Ava indeed. And therefore, there's definitely Ava nowadays involved. So as far as the Rabbanan is concerned, you can definitely be Mekel. As far as the Reis, we're going to see the Mishneh Berurah is not Mekel, but but there's definitely a room for leniency, but we're going to speak about that in Siman Shin Lamed a bit further. Right, okay. This was on the side as far as Goyim and Mumorim are concerned. We're going to move on now to Seif. Hey. Motza El Yoni Mesim, Lo Yoimak Ver Mesua Tachtonim. What happens if you, while you're moving this collapsed building, you find the Elyonim, people who are on the top, and they are dead already, they have deceased already. But you shouldn't say, says the Shulchan Aruch, Lo Yoimak Ver Mesua Tachtonim. Well, if the top ones are dead, then certainly the bottom ones are dead as well. Elam Efekeach Alem Shema Dayim Chaim, they're still a slight sad, that maybe the ones underneath are still alive. And therefore, you shouldn't assume they are dead, and you are, in fact, supposed to carry on removing the collapsed building. Say Vav. Oiv Dekei Chovim. Very interesting halacha. Oiv Dekei Chovim. Goyim. Shetzor Al Arayis Yisrael. They're starting on Yiddish cities, or in fact, Yiddish areas within a city. Im Bo'u Al Iske Momoin. Ein Michal Nimus HaShabbos. Now it depends. Why are they starting on us? Why are they starting on Yidden? So it depends. If they actually just want money, they want money. That's what they're out for. You're not supposed to Michal Shabbos. Just give them the money. Let them take the money. And that's how far as it goes. That's the end of the story. That's if they want money. Bol is gonna force it. However, if they don't want money, they want blood. And even if you're not sure about it, you're allowed to Michal Shabbos, go out, take your weapons, take the appropriate people with the appropriate tools and instruments, and protect yourself. You know, it's you're allowed to save yourself. If you're near a border. Border is always a bit more scary and a bit more, you have to be a bit more concerned about borders. If it's by the border, even if they only come on Iske Teven Vekash, in other words, they come for Iske Moma, they actually only want money, but things always tend to develop in the bad way when it comes to borders, and things get more scary and more worrisome, and therefore you're not to Michal Shabbos, even if they come on Iske Momen. Hago, even if they have not actually come, they're only approaching the area, you're still not to Michal Shabbos. You don't actually have to have entered the area, even if they're approaching, you're also not to Michal Shabbos. Let's go to the Mishnah Berurah. Sif Cotton Yud Base. Al Iske Momen. The Bishvil Hefsid Momen, Loyhuta Issa Shabbos. Important Yesoid, which is maybe self understood. We have talked so many times about Chilul Shabbos. Well, obviously, you're not to Michal Shabbos as far as a person's health is concerned. Obviously, life threatening, you're not to be completely Michal Shabbos. If it's lesser daggers, a person's health is concerned, you know, sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. But as far as a person's money is concerned, you're definitely not to Michal Shabbos. There's no heter to do any Chilul Shabbos, even if a hefsid merub is concerned, you're generally not allowed to Michal Shabbos. The reason why, if they come stam, if you don't know why they're coming, the reason why you're not to Michal Shabbos is because sofik nefoshes lohokel. If you're in doubt, obviously you're not to Michal Shabbos. Now this is only obviously if there's a bit of reason to assume that there is a bit of a doubt that they might start on you physically as well. But if there's no doubt about that, then there's no tzad at all. They come on iske nefoshes, then it's actually not going to be mutter. Last far, il shem avdelet ben gvul sheYisrael dorim bo legvul ha'ibdik legilulim. And the border means it's the border between the Yiddish town to the Goyish town. V'chashinon. They always tend to get more if they start there. Once they've conquered that, the whole area is going to be easier to conquer for them. If the rumor goes out that they want to come, you're allowed to put on your weapons, lishmoil, to protect. V'lasu is koil bo'ir k'dei shalei yavo. You're allowed to protect yourself that they shouldn't come. De'en mekdaktekim be'pikuach nefesh. You don't have to be so precise about pikuach nefesh. And if there's a chance that they're going to come, the rumor is correct. And is, so therefore, you're allowed to protect yourself already at that stage. V'din zeh reisha namikoi. This also is referring to the reisha of the seif. Seif zayin. Yesh mi she'oima. Shebizman hazeh. Some people say that nowadays, even if they come for iske moment, they come for financial matters, they come for money, If we don't let them take the spoils and the money, they're going to start killing. He said that people tend to, the goyim tend to be that if they can't get to their money and it tends to escalate very, very easily, and it's quickly going to become iske nefoshes. And therefore, even on iske momen, you can automatically assume that it's like iske nefoshes, and you're not to michal Shabbos for that. We have iske nefoshes. But the Ramah does conclude that it's not always like that, and sometimes you are safe to assume that it's just for iske momen, and you're not allowed to michal Shabbos. Sef kotem tazayin in the Mishneh Berurah. Sheim lo yanichenu v'hanem ilek shebu al rabim. This is if they come on a large amount of people. You normally can assume that one person is going to stand, he's going to say, no, you don't take my money. And what's going to happen? They're going to kill him. Therefore, it's automatically going to be iskin afoshes. However, if they come on a yachid, only an individual person, if somebody walks on Shabbos, and he walks to a distant hospital, or he's somewhere a bit further down. Apparently, the world is a bit bigger than Edgeware, they say. Outside Edgeware, there is still things happening. So halacha is, if you go out there, you walk on Shabbos, and you go to these, maybe more dangerous areas, and you walk down Shabbos, and the person comes up to you, and he says, give me your golden watch, or give me your, then the halacha is, you're not allowed to mechal Shabbos. You have to give me whatever you have, even if you've got that chosen watch that you got a few years ago, and it's very, very valuable. You're not allowed to mechal Shabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to mechal Shabbos to save your money as opposed to your skin. You have to give it to him. You're not allowed to mechal Shabbos.
You have to be mashah, you have to see what they are like, you have to estimate their situation. And you should know,
nowadays that they come and they take spoils from our cities. There's a chiyuv to go out with our weapons, even on monetary, if they come for money. Very interesting. This is based on the fact that dinah malchusa dinah. If the government wants you to do something, the government wants you to go out with weapons. The government wants you to do something. You're supposed to do what the government wants you to do. Dinah malchusa dinah. Even if there is a chilul Shabbos involved. In fact, it's very interesting. The Mishneh Berurah, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, wrote a whole sefer called Machne Yisrael, which is just a collection of halachas. What about the Yiddish soldiers to do? What should the Yid who is found to be forced to go into the army? What should he do? What's the halachas? What is he allowed to do? What is he not allowed to do? Mishneh Berurah was very concerned about that. Was very worried about Yiddish soldiers. What is the halachas? What is the ramifications halachically? What they're allowed to do and what not? Right. Seif Ches, Horoya Sfino. Somebody who sees a boat, Sheyesh Bo Yisrael, and he knows that in full fact that there is Yidden in that boat, Hamatrefes Biyam, and it's endangered in the Yam. V'chein of Shotev, or a strong river. V'chein, similarly, Yochid Anirdaf Bifnei Ovid Kechovim. You see, a Yid is being chased and followed by a Goy. Mitzvah al kol Odom lechal aleim Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to save those people, whether it's the Yid who is in the boat, or whether it's in the river, or whether it's a single Yid who is being chased by a goy, he has mitzvah to Michal Shabbos, kidei latzinom, to save them. V'ayin le'el, soiv simen shin vav. See what it says in simen shin vav. Mi sheroitzim le'onsoi, if he's, they are trying to force him, im mechal nino vatsa Shabbos, that's as far as doing Michal Shabbos is concerned. If they forced him to do averes, are you not to Michal Shabbos for such a person or not? Seif Cotton Yudches Mipnei Akum Vuadin Me Israel Kshu Meshash Jevul De Sakona. Similarly, actually, it doesn't make a difference if he's chased by another Yid. Does that make any difference or not? Mishneh Berurah said it makes no difference. If he's chased by Yid,
If you know, chances are it's going to get into danger, you're not to michal Shabbos. Because you know you can save him. You should save him. V'chein similarly, k'shadom nirdaf mipnei nochosh. If a person is chased by a nochosh, a snake, or a doy, a bear, gam ken mitzvah natzilo. You also have a mitzvah to save him. In other words, any dangerous animals. Of course, if you see somebody being chased by a bear. Doesn't happen all that often in Edgeway, I think. But if any dangerous animals is chasing a Yidion Atum Michal Shabbos, the Philip Asiyas Kama Melochas B'Shabbos. Obviously, even if it includes many Alochas, many Surim, many Melochas, it's still not to be Michal Shabbos. Kedei Latzidom Mikol Mokim Im Yesh Sakon LeMatzel Enu Michuyov. What's the Alocha? If you can only save him by you yourself getting endangered, very nice Shaila, very important Shaila. You can only save that person. Let's say the person is being chased by a bear. You himself, you haven't got a gun. You can only have another type of weapon, which you have to approach the bear in order to save the other person. Are you allowed to do that or not? Very interesting shaila. Very, very nice. It could be actually, in a safer, there's a fire somewhere. You know, and this person, these people in there were hidden. You can only save him by endangering yourself. What's the halacha then? Very, very important shaila. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mikol Mokim Yesh, Im Yesh Sakona LaMatzel Enu Mechuyev. If there's a sakona to the personal saving, Enu Mechuyev, which seems from there that you're allowed to, but you don't have to. That's what it sounds like. The Chayav Koidim LeChayi Chaveru, because your own life comes first. Your own life comes first. The philosophic sakona nami odif, and even if it's a suffix sakona nami odif, even if there's a suffix sakona to the person who wants to save, somebody wants to save somebody else, and you could possibly endanger yourself by going there, but you're not sure if you're going to endanger yourself. You're not sure if there's fire there, or it could just be smoke, and you're not sure. Not a dangerous type of smoke, it's just just a bit of you're not sure. You're not sure if it is a danger going there. What's the halacha then? Do you have to go or not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, no. A philosophic sakon and ame odif, this fake today mevade de chaveiroi. Your suffix is still better than his vadaim. Ulam tzorich lishkol advarim heitev, you always have to think about it twice. Im yesh b'suffix sakon, v'lo didaktik b'yoisa. Koisa sh'ombu ha-medaktik atzme b'kach, poli de'kach. Yeah, a person should wait to think twice before he does any of these actions. Now comes a very, very important halacha as far as Hatzol is concerned. Kol ha-yoytzim lehatzil, sif tes. Kol ha-yoytzim lehatzil, chozrim bekleizeinom limkoimom. Now what happens? Anybody who goes out to save and protect the village, and he has got kleizein, he's got weapons, and Baruch Hashem was successful, he was able to chase away the people who tried to invade and disturb the Eden. Now he's still holding his weapons, who of course mukta, and he's carrying them. It's also shalaz avoy tzor. Does he have to just drop them and leave them in the field, or can he actually take them back? Now, the reason why this is such an important shaila, as far as Hatzol is concerned, is because it's exactly the same shaila. If somebody goes out, he's got a Hatzol call, and he goes out, and he's done his job. And Baruch Hashem, he was successful. Well, the same halacha would apply if he wouldn't be successful. But let's just, take the bright side. And Baruch Hashem was successful. And now he's standing over there. He might have taken the car, or he might have got there by any other. And he's got plenty of mukta items, and he's got the car and everything. And he finds himself and now Baruch Hashem, everything is in order. Now he stands with, now he's not sure what to do. Shall he now? It's Shabbos morning, 8:30 a.m. Now what shall he do now? Can he get back? Shall he remain there for a couple of hours? What shall he do? So the halacha is called Yotzim Lehatzil. Anybody who went out to save Chozrim Bekleizonim Lunkoimam, they're not to return. They are not to return. Chozrim Bekleizonim Lunkoimam, they're not to return. Now let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says on that. Chozrim, save Kotten Chof. The reason for that is because we don't want them to be hesitant next time. Because next time they're going to be hesitant. Because next time they're going to think twice. When they have that Hatzolah call, they're going to think twice. Shall I go? Shall I not go? Because I might get stuck. Where's that call from? And he said, oh, he sees from the people. I don't know what the systems are nowadays. He sees that, well, it's actually that call it's in Brixton, or it's in Wimbledon. And you don't really fancy staying the rest of Shabbos in Wimbledon. And so you're quite hesitant about going. And that's what we want to save. We're very worried about that. And therefore, Chazal and Matir, the Torah is Matir, just because we don't want you to be hesitant next time, therefore you're allowed to return now. A fascinating heter. It's all included in the heter.
And it's all included in the Heta. That we are worried about next time. We are worried about next time. And therefore, you're not to be Michal Shabbos on return as well. Very, very interesting. It's not a random Heta. It's not a random Heta. But generally speaking, that's how we go. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, we're going to speak about that. That's going to be Mitzchem Simon Shin Lamed. Sivkot and Chovalev Mimkoim. Einle Kamon B'Simon Tov Zayin. Yeah, but this is—it's a very important story to know that Chazal were matir, the return because we're worried about next time. Yeah. Yes, certainly. Yeah. It's very interesting. So what you're really mentioning is that there's two separate points, which is very true. There is the point of that it's not a random heter. Right, and there's a second point, which is possibly the Hergish thing, which might not be based on halacha so much, but it's a person's feeling. You don't want to be right. As I saw somewhere that somebody was a Hatzolah member, and he was actually in Eretz Yisrael. So the situation obviously is different, and he stopped after a few years. He was approached and he was asked, "Why did you stop?" After it was very successful and a very good Hatzolah member, and he said, "You know what? Because I just didn't feel anymore when I was switching on the engine of the ambulance. I just didn't feel bad about it anymore. And then I realized, well, I can't do it anymore." Which I can understand that. There's no halacha about it. But it's just that, you know, when you feel that it's just not Shabbos anymore, but you just don't feel anymore, then you know there's something intrinsic. You know, there's room for change. And right. Yeah, but as far as the halacha is concerned, it's called Yotzim Lahatzel Chosim B'Klezonim Rimkoim. That is the halacha. Fine, we're going to carry on with Shem tomorrow.